Last week, we began a series. If you're new to church, a series is just a collection of talks around one idea, one common theme called Grounded. And the whole idea is this, is how do you stay grounded when it feels like everything is shaking around you? How in the middle of chaos, which all of us has experienced a whole lot of chaos, how do we stay grounded? How do we not let everything that is spinning all around us begin to spin on the inside of us? How do we not allow things like news and headlines and changes and mandates and all the things, how does it not steal our peace, rob us of our joy, cause anxiety? There is a way to live where you're not blown around by everything that comes along. And how do we do that? And I used this illustration last week with Captain Hook. Everybody say hi to Captain Hook. I can't believe you just did that. That's awesome, though. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate your confidence. But I use this illustration. I was reading this book called Plato's Lemonade Stand, and again, I haven't finished it all, so I can't completely endorse it, but it's an interesting book on change. And the idea is this. I read it in like the first chapter of the book, is that whenever change happens in our life or things begin to spin in our life, the reality is that life is always spinning. And as Christians, maybe sometimes you think, well, if I pray hard enough, God will stop the spinning in my life. And the truth is, that's probably not going to happen. The Bible says, in this world, you'll have trouble. Aren't you glad you came to church? But, it says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And so there is a way that in the middle of the trouble, you can be an overcomer. You don't have to be overcome by all the chaos in the world. So the idea is that many of us live our life on the outside of the wheel. And when it's spinning, even a little spin seems unsettling. But so the goal is not to get the wheel to stop. The goal is to move closer and closer to the center of the wheel, because as it spins, you don't spin. And as it spins, you feel it less. And so I don't have to, there's a new headline, my joy is gone. There's a new variant, I'm overwhelmed with anxiety and fear. No, you don't have to live that way. You can have a peace that passes understanding. You can live what the Bible says, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You don't have to be afraid to move forward. Some of you, you're afraid to move forward in life because you're afraid the next step will be shaky. And you're like, I know it's working here. I'm good here. I'm just going to stay right here. But that is not what God intended. He's moving you from victory to victory, from glory to glory. It is time to move forward. We're going to talk about that on Vision Sunday. You don't want to miss a week of church. Vision Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. I'm telling you, so many exciting things, because I don't know about y'all, but this church is moving forward. We're not waiting for someday out in the future. And then in February, we're going to do a series called Managing Me, which is going to be a great series. And we're going to do a book study of the Bible in March. And then it'll be Easter, y'all, then Mother's Day, then the summer, and then it'll be 2023. It made me think it goes that fast, right? And so you can live grounded. And I want to talk to you about that. And so as I read this story or this illustration in this book, I thought, when I feel the most grounded, when life doesn't feel like it's spinning out of control, and doesn't feel chaotic, what are the things that are in place in my life? And I think they'll be helpful in your life. And so I think you can make your own list, but I'm giving you four things in this month, four things in these 4 weeks. Last week, we started out that I believe that what'll keep you grounded is when you are living a life of prayer. And I told you last week, and I'll say it again this week, I don't think any of these things are new to you, and they're not necessarily groundbreaking, but maybe I'll share them in a new way. They may not be things you've never heard, but I hope to help you hear them in a different way. And so last week I started out talking about living a life of prayer, that maybe prayer should be your first response, not your last resort. And that prayer shouldn't be just something we do before a meal or when life is falling apart, but maybe we would feel more grounded if the first thing, as soon as I felt overwhelmed, I prayed. That before I walked into the business meeting, I prayed. Before I walked into that test, I prayed. Before I took the field, I prayed. Before I went to bed, I prayed. When I got up, I prayed. Are you with me? That I would go, we looked at the quote by Smith Wigglesworth, the great revivalist of a later century, who said, I often don't pray more than 30 minutes at a time, but I never go more than 30 minutes without praying. So that maybe prayer would be our first response. If you're with me, say amen. today I want to talk to you about the second thing that I think will help keep you grounded, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, I'm going to warn you, I want to bring you into my classroom today. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. So I'm going to be your pastor today, but more, I'm going to put on the Dr. Floyd hat, all right? I earned the degree, I'm going to use it every so often, okay? And so I need you to really lean in, because I believe this could be the most consequential Sunday of the series. Now, the next 2 weeks are going to be great. On week 3, I'm going to teach on, and on week 4, I'm going to teach on, and I'm not telling you, you got to come to find out. But I can't overemphasize how important this is in your life, that the Word of God be central in your life. And so I want you to really lean in. If you're a note taker, you're going to have a lot to write down today. If you're not a note taker, write down a whole lot today or put it in your phone. If you're with me, say amen. So I want to start at base level to make sure we all have a common understanding. Then I want to give you a few things that I think will be very practical in your life and has the power to really transform your life. All right, you ready? Okay, you already failed the test. Wow, I need you to lean in. I know every other campus is. Fred, you don't use all your 60 seconds either to talk to people. We got to work on that. All right, is everybody with me? Okay, great. Great, so let's start out. The word Bible simply means this: the books are the book, all right? It's made up of 66 books. You know, you would know that maybe intuitively if you've been around the scripture. If not, it's made up of 66 books. So Genesis is a book, Exodus is a book, Matthew's a book. And so it's made up of 66 books. It's broken up into two sections: the Old Testament, everybody shout the Old. And then the New Testament, everybody shout the New. The gap in between the two is a 400-year period where there was no revelation or revelatory word from God through the prophets. If you're with me, say amen. All right, number two I want you to know about the Bible is this, is that it was written over a period of 1,600 years in over a dozen countries on 3 continents from people of all walks of life. So when I show you something in a minute, it's going to blow your mind even more, that over a 1,600-year period, this is why I trust the validity of the Bible, is because only God could take a 1,600-year period over a dozen countries, over 3 continents, and it have one common theme and one arcing storyline. And then number 3, what I want you to know about it is that there were 40 writers, but only one author. That's critically important to understand. There were over 40 writers, but there was one author, and the author is God himself. He used the pen and the hand of 40 writers, are you with me? But one author. Because if they are merely words of men, then we're wasting our time. If they're merely the thoughts of nice individuals and intellectual people, which they were smart individuals, then we're wasting our time, because what I have to say is no more valid and helpful than what they have to say. But if it is the Word of God, then it is power and it is life to my soul, and it's something I can build my life upon. The Bible says this in the book of Timothy. It says, all scripture is, everybody say that with me, it is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. And so because of that, it's useful for teaching things we don't like, also rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness or how to live a right life, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so this word that we hold in our hand or we download it on our phone, this Word of God is breathed by God himself. That is a critical piece to understand, is that it's God-breathed, that it's not man's great philosophy, that it's not our highest level of thinking, but it is the very breathed Word of God given to us by writers, but by one author. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, every good book has a arcing storyline, does it not? Some of you didn't go to English class. Every good book has an arcing storyline, has some highs and lows, has some ebbs and flows, it creates tension and then it releases the tension. Are you with me? And so I want to show you the overall plot of the Old and the New Testament. And if you'll notice, I'm going to show you that what is created in the Old Testament is mirrored in reverse in the New Testament. If you're with me, say amen. Let me show you this to you. Number one is this. In the Old Testament, we see God and righteous man are in paradise. This is the beginning of Genesis. This is the Garden of Eden. Maybe you've heard of that. And so God and man, righteous because he is without sin. There's been no fall of man. There's been no serpent yet. There's been no eating of the forbidden fruit yet. All those stories, if you're familiar with those, none of those has happened yet. And so God and man is righteous at this point because sin hasn't entered the world. Number two, next in Genesis, what we see, this is a high overview. Are you with me? Say amen. All right, welcome to my classroom. Satan and sin enter the world. Now, this would be the story you're familiar with of Adam and Eve and eating of the fruit that was told they couldn't eat of. And so now sin and Satan, the serpent, have entered the world. Number three is this, is that the world is judged and destroyed. Now, this is Noah's ark and the... Some of you are like, I'm not saying the wrong thing. I'm in church. This is Noah's ark and the flood, all right? The world is destroyed. The only people that are saved, it's kind of a really bad time in the earth. Number four next is a one world government system is attempted. This is the Tower of Babel. We'll be our own gods. We'll rule our own kingdom. Are you with me? Are you all with me so far? All right, so that is what is going on there. Next. And this is the rest of the Old Testament from Genesis 11 on is 12 tribes of Israel. God creates a people for his own. This is the nation of Israel. This is God's holy people. And so this is God. And what he is doing through these 12 tribes, through the nation of Israel, his chosen holy people, is he is creating a nation through which the redemption of all humanity will happen because sin and Satan entered the world. If you're with me, say amen. Now, the next major event that happens is in the Gospels, and it's Jesus Christ. The hero has arrived. Are y'all with me? Jesus comes, and this changes everything. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is where we see the life of Jesus. This is where we see some of the works of Jesus, and we learn about the gospel, the good news that Jesus came. Messiah has arrived. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He's going to raise again 3 days later, proving that he was who he said he was, the Son of God with the power to take away the sin of the world, and now all of humanity can be redeemed. But watch this. Are you with me? Say amen. So we have God and righteous man in paradise. We have sin and Satan enter the world. It's judged. We have one world. We have 12 tribes. And we have Israel's God, holy people. Now we have 12 disciples and the church is God's holy people. In reverse now, we see the Old Testament and the New Testament. Number two is one world government system, according to Revelation, is coming. And you may have, 50 years ago, people were like, those radical Christians thinking about now you could see more than ever how it could take place. You could see how there could be one world currency. You could see how everybody could coalesce under one government. You could see how a pandemic would dictate that all governments need to come together and work together. And are y'all following me? I'm not some conspiracy theory with a tinfoil hat in my basement. I'm just telling you, according to John the Revelator, this is what's happening. One world government. Number three is the world is judged and destroyed. God promised he would never destroy the earth by water again. This time it will be by fire. This isn't meant to scare you. This is the reality of what is happening. Number four is sin and Satan now exit. Praise God. Praise God. And finally, we started with God and righteous man in paradise, and we end with God and redeemed because of Jesus, man in paradise forever. Are you with me? That is the overarching story of Scripture. I gave you the cliff notes, all right? You're welcome. That is the overarching story. And here's what I want to propose to you today in the next few minutes from a practical standpoint. I want to propose to you that this Word of God, the Bible, is not just a good collection of stories, but it is worthy of you building the entirety of your life upon. I'm going to say it again. What I want to propose to you is that this is not just a collection of great stories, although they are fascinating if you read your Bible, that these are not just good hope statements, that these are not just tweetable statements, if anybody uses that anymore, that these are not just cool things to put on a mug, that they're not nice phrases and quotes that we could add on to frame pictures and frame them, and no, that this is worthy of you completely constructing the totality of your life around what it says. And so that's my goal. I like the way the Bible says it this way in the Message translation. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. The Bible is not a good luck charm. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. It's not just five ways to live a better life. It's not pop psychology. I'm not against it. I took a lot of psychology classes. I was trying to figure myself out. They are foundational words. Somebody shout foundational. They're words to build a life on. And listen to this. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. I'm just telling you that the winds of life are coming. The rains are coming. The storms are coming. I'm not just talking about the ones that knock out your power for a week. The storms of life are coming. And if you build your life around just ideologies of the day, along cultural norms of the day, if you build it upon just anything else than the word of God, then when the storms come and the winds blow, your house will crumble. Your joy will be gone. Your peace will be robbed. Anxiety will overwhelm you. You will need something to wake you up in the morning and take something to put you to sleep at night. No wonder suicide hotlines have gone through the roof. No wonder alcoholism went through the roof. No wonder divorce is through the roof right now. No wonder prescription meds are through the roof right now, because for the last 20 months, the wheel went out of control and we had built things on a soft foundation. But I'm telling you, these are worth building your life upon the word of God. I want you to be a smart carpenter. And so here I want to give you three thoughts. If you're with me, say amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts around building your life on the word of God. It'll keep you grounded. Number one is this. It is, I must accept its authority. I must accept its authority. The Bible says it this way. We also thank God continually. This is the church in Thessalonians. It said, we thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, watch this, not as the word of men, but actually as it is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. In other words, the word doesn't work unless you work the word. Some of you are like, well, the Bible doesn't work for me. No, it works for those who believe. But first, I've got to accept it as authoritative. In other words, I've got to accept the word. I've got to make a volitional decision personally in my life that the word of God is my authority. Not popular ideologies. I'm not going to mix a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of word. No, the word doesn't work that way. Are you following me? I'm not going to take a little bit of cultural norms, a little bit of Fox, a little bit of MSNBC, a little bit of CNN. Come on, are y'all with me? A little bit of philosophy and a little bit of the word. No. I'm going to set the word as preeminent. I'm going to set the word as above everything. I'm going to set the word as first priority in my life. Are you following me? I'm going to put the word above everything. In other words, everything that comes into my mind gets filtered first through what does the word say about that? How does the word look at that? I don't go first, what does my Facebook feed say about it? Hello. I love education. I went as far as I possibly could in it. And I told Tammy, I may go back again whenever I retire. I enjoy it so much. But I don't go first with what my teacher says. I go, what does the word say? I don't go through, what does the book on Barnes & Noble say? I go through, what does the word say first? If it don't line up with the word, it ain't right. Amen. I can't get any help in this church today. If you don't know, we are a word, spirit, and faith church. We believe the word, we believe in the spirit of God, and we move on what the word says. So here's what that means, is I don't bend the word to fit my life. I bend my life to fit the word. I don't ask the word to come down to my level. I rise up to the word's level. Are you following me? So when the word tells me to forgive those who have hurt me, whether I like it or not, whether I feel it or not, I forgive those who hurt me. Are you following me? When the word tells me to be generous, even if I want to be greedy, then I'm generous. Hello, somebody. When the word tells me things I don't, but Pastor, I don't like what some of it says. Me neither. But if your God never confronts you, you've created a God in your own image. You should open the word and it bother you sometimes. Why? Because none of us are perfect and none of us have arrived. You should open the Bible and go, "Ooh, son. Next chapter, please." Pretend I didn't see that one. Are you following me? I'm not saying that I get it right all the time. I'm not saying I like it all the time. I'm just saying I'm not asking it to come down and come down to my whims. I'm moving as best I can with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm moving towards its standard. Are you following me? I'm saying, God, your word is the authority in my life above everything. So I filter everything through the word. I filter every thought as best I can through the word. I filter every input. Students, listen to me. You filter everything through the word of God. Not what TikTok is telling you. I would have it, but I don't even know how to do it. I actually don't even run my own social media stuff, but I filter everything through the word, not what my friend thinks, not what culture tells me, not what the movie tells me, not what some song is, not every message goes, boom, you gotta come through the word first. Because it's authoritative in my life. It's not an option. It's not something that is taking up dust on my shelf. It's not a decorative piece on my coffee table. Are you following me? It's spirit. It's life. It's been breathed by God himself. It's his love letter to me. It's his instruction to me. It's telling me how to live this life. It's foundational. I want to be a smart carpenter. And so I got to make it authoritative in my life. And so as Paul came to the church in Thessalonica, I come to the church in Virginia and say, don't receive these as words from men, because they're not. They're the very word of God. And so the starting point is I must accept it as authoritative. If you're with me, say amen. Number two is I must assimilate its truths. So how do I do that? Let me give you three thoughts under this real quick on how to assimilate, or how to make it a part of every part of your life. How to make it a part of every part of your life. Number one is by listening to God's word. So the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. You want to increase faith? If you feel like you have little faith, then get the word in you. It'll increase faith. How does faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God. That's why it's so important for you to gather every week. This isn't just like, well, this is what we're supposed to do. Sing a few songs, give a welcome, sing another song, then he's going to get up and make us sing the song again. And then there's going to be a message, average message, unless we have a guest. And then we're going to close out, and we're all going to pray together. No, it's not just box we're checking. We're building faith. And if I'm being the pastor that I should be, the Bible uses the metaphor of shepherd and the church's metaphor of sheep, then I should be moving you to different pastures. And so this month, we're gonna graze in the pasture of grounded and find out about prayer, find out about the word, and next week you'll have to come to find out what that is. Then in February, we're gonna graze to another pasture, and then in March, we're gonna go to another. And so I sit back and look at the year and go, where do we need to graze this year? Are you with me? And so that's why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And man, we live in a culture where you can hear the word of God in so many places between podcasts and YouTube and live streams. Some of it you need to stay away from. It's horrible preaching, but some of it, I'm just being honest with you, some of it don't listen to. But hearing the word of God, are you with me? Assimilate it by hearing it. I can't just eat on Sundays. He says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. I need to listen to the word. Number two is by reading God's word. By reading God's word. Look what the Bible says. Jesus answered. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written. Jesus had even read. He would be talking about the first five books of the Old Testament as a Jewish man. That's what he would have read. The Torah, the first five books of our Old Testament. But he read the word. You need to read the word. Why? Because you can't live just on bread. Are you with me? Now, if your lights are out and you can't cook anything and the fridge has gone bad, you start a lot of carbs. Let me say it this way to you. The word is nourishment for your soul. So you can't eat once a week and expect your soul and faith to be strong. If you come on Sunday and wonder by Wednesday why you have no joy, or by Monday morning, come on, somebody. Let's be real. By the time you get home, it's because you can't eat once a week. You can't do it to your body physically. You wouldn't survive. You can't do it to your soul spiritually. You got to read the word of God. And man, it's at your fingertips. The YouVersion Bible app is a great one I would recommend to download. Get a one-year Bible. That's what I do. 15 minutes a day. You can read through the Bible 15 minutes a day in 1 year. Just 15 minutes a day. Find a Bible plan. Find something that works for you. What? Just read the, I don't always understand. I started reading the Bible and it was like so-and-so begets, so-and-so begets, and I just lost interest. No, keep going. Plow through. You get past that eventually, right? The family tree stuff is boring. I get it. I understand. But stick to it. Retain it. Number three is by retaining God's word. Scripture says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me say it this way. Make memorizing the word of God a part of your life. Something about memorizing it takes it beyond off the page and it like gets it in your soul, right? And I can't explain it. I don't have a chapter and verse for it, but I'm just telling you. When you assimilate the word of God into you and you face something or something overwhelms you or you're in a tough situation, you don't even need a copy of the Bible because the Bible will be in you. And the word of God will rise up and remind you of promises and remind you of the goodness of God. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all been walking with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. I grew up memorizing scripture in Sunday school. Come on, somebody, some Sunday school. And it was all in the King James Version. So when God speaks to me, he speaks to me in King James English. Because that's what I remember in my mind. But I'm just telling you, I can be walking somewhere and a verse I haven't read in years will just pop up in my mind. It happens when I preach. Stuff I haven't even studied, I ain't even thought about it, didn't even think about it in the context of the message. And in the middle of the message, that word will just come back out right because I assimilated into my life somewhere along the way. Are you following me? Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm a dad, and I'm a leader, and I'm a husband, and I need the word of God in my life. I need to retain it because I need to know that whenever I'm anxious, I need to know I can cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. And I need to know that I need to pray continuously. And I need to remember that no weapon formed against me will prosper, that this is in the inheritance. This is my inheritance, that whenever I feel like all hell's coming against me, are you following me? I need that word. I need it when it seems like everything is going wrong to go, no, he's got good plans for me. They're to prosper me and not to harm me and to give me a hope and to give me a future. I need the word in me. I need to assimilate the word into me because it'll keep me grounded. I need to know, are y'all following me? And you need it too. I just don't need it because I'm a pastor. I need it because I'm a Christian. I'm human. Why? Because I'm not exempt from this. Sometimes I feel like it spins more. I feel like the target's bigger because of what I do. And I can't live my life on this merry-go-round of, oh, there's too much at stake. I got too much to do. You got too much to do. And the word of God grounds me. It'll ground you. But it only works if you're working it. It's got to be authoritative. You got to make the decision that above every other voice in this world, I'm going to let the word of God be the number one. And because it's authoritative in my life, I'm going to assimilate it into my life. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to retain it. And not only that, but final thought is I must apply its principles. The scripture says that we're not to merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves, but we're to do what it says. And here's what I think the scripture is teaching us, is that you can be deceived when you have a whole lot of head knowledge of the word, but you have no life application of the word. Just because I know a lot of the Bible, and I do, doesn't equate to me living the Bible, which is the point. This is why some of the nastiest people you've met were in church. Can I be honest? At least the ones I've been a part of, except LifePoint. Because just because I've done 12,000 Bible studies doesn't mean that I'm living it out. You can know Beth Moore's social security number and not be living out the word of God. Are y'all following me? So the Bible says, just because you know a lot, don't be deceived and think you're good. No, I got to actually live it. I have to actually love my neighbor. I have to actually forgive those who hurt me. I have to actually choose an attitude of joy because my spirit is my choice. I have to actually look out for the vulnerable. I have to actually care for the poor. I have to actually get out of my seat and serve the needs of somebody else and put theirs above my own. Are you following me? I must apply its principles. So what are we going to do? We're going to accept the word as authoritative. We're going to shift gears. Go, God, not what anything else says, first and foremost, what do you say? We're going to assimilate it into us. So the word isn't just words on a page. It's in me. Saturates me. And then I'm going to live it out. I'm going to apply its principles. Can I give you a real practical way? Challenge, maybe just this week, maybe the next 14 days, maybe the month of January. 15 minutes a day in prayer, 15 minutes a day in the word. Just start there. You can give 30 minutes. Come on, you can do 30 minutes. 15 in the word, 15 in prayer. 15 in the word, 15 in prayer. It'll get you grounded. It'll keep your feet solid underneath you. I'm just telling you, go all in for a year and see if your life isn't different at the end of the year because of the word and because of prayer. Do you receive the word today? If you do, put your hands together. Hey, will you pray with me at every location, every head bowed, every eye closed? We never like to end a service without giving you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life. The great story of the Bible is that God made a way for all of humanity to be redeemed, to know that our sins are forgiven, to have peace with God. And Jesus came, he died the death you and I should have died. He lived the life we could never live, the one of perfection. And he offers us the free gift of salvation. He offers us a brand new beginning, a fresh start. And you can have that today. Not on my authority, but on the authority of God's word. And the way that we receive that, the Bible says, is that we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the resurrection. And we confess with our mouth that he's Lord, that he's in control. And that's how we know we can have forgiveness of sin. And the reality is that we're all sinners. And that isn't meant to condemn you or beat you up. It's the reality of the human condition. We've all sinned. Since the fall of man, it's been the story of humanity. And so today, Jesus offers you this beautiful gift. This isn't about joining this church or any of that. It's about having a relationship with God and knowing you have peace with God. And so in just a moment, we're going to pray together. We do every week as a church for the benefit of those who are praying for the first time or they're coming back to God. Maybe you're here and you'd say, I've been a Christian all my life, but I don't know that I have peace with God. You would take that title, Christian, but you don't know in your heart that you have peace with God. Today you can know, and this is your moment. I believe you're here by divine assignment. So if that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up. Nobody's going to come to you, wouldn't embarrass you for the world. With no one looking around, every location, only me and your campus pastors, we just want to know who we're praying with today. If that's you, on three, just shoot your hand up in the air. This is your moment. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high. God bless you. God bless you all over the room. Incredible. You can put it down. Church, let's pray this out loud together for the benefit of those who just slipped their hand up. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who just made that decision. Hey, we hope today's message spoke to your situation and was helpful to your life. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the channel. We're posting new content every week. And also, if you'd like to partner with us financially, you can click the link below. You know, it's thanks to the generosity of people like you that we're able to meet the needs of people all over the world. So thank you for making a difference and helping deliver this message to the people that need it most. And thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you soon.